Book of 1 Peter, chapter 3. 1 Peter, chapter 3. We'll read first 9 verses. Please read.
Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being of subjection unto their own husbands.
Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereto called, that ye should inherit a blessing.
So we are here for the blessing.
Amen.
When we come to the church, we come for the blessing.
Amen. Amen.
Today, one brother came. He's a medical doctor. I didn't know he was just a driver. But anyhow, I start talking to him and I says, "Sir, why don't you come in and have a service?" He said, "I'm busy. I have to go home." And I wanted you to come into the church. So he said, "Okay, I'll come." He came. I talked to him and gave him some examples, and he was listening like a little baby. And after that I said, "Let's pray." And he said, "Can I kneel down?" I said, "You can stand if you want." He said, "I want to kneel down."
Amen.
So he was kneeling down, and I knelt down with him and led him to Christ.
Amen.
And he rededicated his life to Jesus Christ. Why I'm saying this? Because the word of God says we are here for the blessing.
Amen.
So anyone come to the church of God or the house of God, they come for the blessing.
Amen.
God is going to bless us because our God is a good God.
Amen.
And I gave this brother a couple of verses. He said, "Now I'm going to go home, and what are the scriptures you have given to me? I'm going to have a church in my house."
Amen.
Praise God. Okay, let's go back to the 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1.
"Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives."
The word of God is dealing about the wives first, so let's go to that part. He says, "You wives, be in subjection to your own husband." Why does he say own husband? Do you know? Because the wives, not all the wives, the worldly wives who do not have Jesus, who are not born again, they might show some love to their husband, but when they go out in their work or a person on the street, they talk to them like a honey. They talk very sweet. They do anything for them. If the boss says, "Do this, oh, I'll walk your dog, I'll kiss your feet, I'll do anything for you." That's what people do. That's what the word of God is saying. You're not supposed to give your life or subjection to any other man. You have to respect your husband, not somebody's husband. And that's why the marriages are breaking apart. Why? Because they do not care about their husband or their wives, and they care about somebody else. Just think that one lady and one man having a marriage problem, and you're supposed to be wife of your husband. You have no business going and talking to this man about his marriage. let the minister handle that.
Amen.
But if you start going and trying to say, you know, you should be having a good wife like me. Your wife is not a good wife because you have a problem. And that lady tried to say something good about herself and tried to help that man and go out of her way and trying to please him. And when she comes home from the work, she will be like a barking dog or maybe snake. But outside, she might be sweet like a honey. That's what the Word of God is saying.
That's right.
You cannot do that. If you are a born again child of God, I don't love this man anymore. What's the problem? You started with the wrong idea. Now you got married, you have to stick with it. You cannot say I got married and this man changed or this wife changed. If you got married and if you have a problem, what you do? Instead of calling the lawyer, call upon Jesus.
Amen.
If Jesus comes in between you and your husband, I don't care what kind of husband he is, God will transform him.
Amen.
If God can change the Saul to Paul, he can change anybody.
Amen.
But we have fellowship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
Once you have a problem, you are not going to take a rod in your hand and I'm going to show you. Some of the wives are stronger than a husband. And some of the husbands are skinny. And they say, well, I'll show you. If you do something to me, I will show you. Even though they don't want to do anything, but they use their tongue, it's done. Jesus Christ says, if you look at one woman with a lustful eyes, you have committed adultery.
That's right. Amen.
God is greater than our heart.
Oh, yes.
He knows every thought comes in our mind.
Yes.
Before you say anything, it's already happened in your heart.
That's right.
Yes. Once it happened in your heart, it comes from your mouth.
Amen.
So, what he says, garbage in, garbage out. So, once this comes out, what you have to do? You have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I will never do it again.
Amen.
And that's the way to keep the marriage together. When you have a problem, go to your pastor, go to God, and God will fix it.
Amen.
Sometimes you take it to the lawyer, and just think the lawyer is unmarried. And you are maybe 25 years old, and the lawyer might be 30 years old. He's looking for a wife. So beautiful girl comes and she starts talking about her husband. He said, get rid of that man. It's not good for you. Or go to somebody to counseling. They will tell you, no, you have to think about you. You think about you. Don't think about the man. Don't think about your children. Think about you. And it sounds good because somebody tells about me. And then they listen whatever the man give counseling. And what he wants your money. And sometimes he wants you. And sometimes they use you. And so what the Word of God is saying, you do not go to any other man and be submissive to him. Your duty to submit yourself to your husband. When you got married, I don't care what reason you got married, you have to repent. Lord, I got married to this man for visa purpose, or the money purpose, or some kind of luxurious purpose, but my heart was not there. If you are born again, you have to repent and say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever the man you gave it to me, I'm going to live with him,
yes,
and I'm going to win him for God.
Amen.
God will do it. And now here he says, if any obey not the word, who is any? He's talking about husband. If any husband doesn't obey the word, that means you got married by mistake, unsaved man. And you thought you're going to change him, but something happened now. Just like one lady called me the other day, and she calls me and she said, you know, I got married to the Hindu man. I don't know how to tell him about Jesus. This is not one lady, but many, many people call me like that. And I told her, bring him to church. The man came to church and I told him about Jesus. Man got saved, got baptized, and now he's a Christian. But what I'm trying to say, that lady was trying to think, I'm going to change him because I'm American and he's a foreigner. When he gets married, he will listen to me. Doesn't work that way. Because man has their own mind. And the ladies or men, before they get married, everything what the man says, lady says, I like that. I like blue car. Oh, I love blue color. He can say anything and you will say, I love it. As soon as you get married. But why are you saying everything before? Because you want to get that man very badly. The word of God is saying, even the man is not saved. And you made a mistake. Now it's too late. Now you don't kick him out. Now you treat him as a husband. Get some help. Help from God. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Cry to God. I have seen many, many wives. There was one man, he was in India. He was making $3,000 per day. Now in India, somebody making $3,000 a day is a big man. And he has a lot of servants. He has liquor party and doing all kinds of things. And he doesn't want to marry because he's dealing with all kinds of girls. So his family was Christian. They thought maybe we can find a Christian girl and he might change. He married a Christian girl, but he never touched her. He comes very late and the lady is waiting for him. He comes and locks his door and goes inside and don't talk to her. That lady was crying day and night. She talked to God. She said, Lord, what I'm going to do? She prayed. One day the man came from this drinking party. And when he came, he was very drunk, very frustrated. He got a dream. He got a dream like he was falling in a very deep well inside. He tried to come out, could not come. He tried to do all of his strength and he was so tired. He called upon God, oh God, help me. Jesus came and helped him out. And Jesus says, I'm going to change your life. And all of a sudden, this man started crying. The mother and the wife, they don't know what's happening. They came to the door and start praying. Lord, we don't know, he's going to kill himself. What happened to him? And they were very afraid. He opens the door and the wife is crying. He took wife in his arms, say, honey, I'm sorry. Jesus changed my life. Amen. Today that man has 5 or 7 children and all of them are ministers. Amen. God did a miracle. Amen. That lady didn't fight with him, did not argue with him. She just went to God. Amen. God heard her prayer. That's what the word of God is saying. If you're married to somebody, sometimes you're married to somebody and that person was a godly man. And all of a sudden he became a backslider. What are you going to do? You're going to say, divorce him. He's a bad guy. But if you start praying, God can change anyone. Amen. That's what the word of God says. Yes, what he said, let's read that verse one more time.
Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife.
What will happen? They also may, without the word, be won by what?
Conversation.
Conversation means not talking.
No.
Your behavior, your conduct, your life, what you're going to live. That life will change your husband. Not talking to somebody, Talking means arguing and bringing your point, and I know what you're doing, and I know much better language, and I know much vocabulary. Doesn't work that way. You show your behavior. You tell them, I am transformed. I am a child of God. No guile in my mouth. No filthy talk in my mouth. No cursing in my mouth. My mouth is completely transformed. My tongue is completely transformed. Now I am a child of God. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongue. Amen. With God, a mystery.
Amen.
And God speaks to
That's
me.
Right.
I will take my case to God.
Amen.
Not to somebody else.
That's right.
I guarantee you, your husband will be transformed. Some people, you know, they try to give that person Bible scripture or Bible word and keep the Bible in his pillow, give the Bible in his car and put some scripture here and there. That's everything good. But that man sees your behavior. Sometimes you act so much spiritual. I'm talking about some Christian ladies. They act like so spiritual. They have Monday through Friday prayer meetings. Her husband comes home. Where is wife? She's in a meeting. No food, nothing. And so much problem. So what happens? That person says, what kind of wife is? I'm so religious. You don't know, you're not spiritual. That religious thing is nothing. Amen. You have to learn to take care of your husband.
Amen. Yes.
And then you go
Amen.
To God.
That's right.
You kick your husband and say, I'm late to work. Go to make your food. I have to go now. And you kick your husband and go to church. Show there, dance with the people, holy, holy. God says, hey, what did you do? Did you kick your husband? Did you ask forgiveness? No. So that's what the word of God says. Your life is the letter, not your word.
Amen.
You don't say anything. You act like a Christian. You behave like a Christian. Your husband says something. If he say one word, I'm going to say 10 words. I know he doesn't have vocabulary. I'm going to give him a peace of mind. And you start telling, he said one word and you're talking half an hour. Even though he kept quiet and he kept on talking.
That's right.
That is not godly thing.
Amen.
God is not going to honor that because you are smarter than your husband. If you marry to him, you be submissive to him, not to boss over him. So here the word of God is saying, if you don't have anything to say, and he doesn't want to listen to the word of God, what you do then? You just behave. There is another man, he was treating his wife very bad. But the lady will go to church, come back, give the man food. Whatever he says, he gave. One day man was so mad, he wouldn't let her come in. He locked the door and put her out. Maybe cold or something like that. And she was so shivering, no blanket, nothing. And she slept at the door. Morning, the husband opens the door. Say, honey, what kind of breakfast do you want? I'm going to cook it for you. That man's heart melted. This has to be God. That man became a minister and serving the Lord. So what I'm trying to say, this is the way you can change your husband. This is the way you can change your family. Not fighting, not arguing, not showing so much wisdom. Go to God.
Amen.
Behave like a child of God.
That's right.
Last week, if you remember what we learned, follow the steps of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He suffered on the cross, and we did not find any guile in his mouth.
Amen.
That's what we learned last week. He didn't say anything. He didn't argue, I'm innocent. He didn't say, Father, do you know what these people are doing to me? And if you would have said, zap them, they would have been finished within 1 second.
Oh, yeah.
But he said, Father, they don't know what they're doing. And that's what the word of God is trying to teach us. He says, what you do, you have forgiven, so you forgive others.
Amen.
If I'm not forgiving others, God is not going to forgive me.
Right.
So I have to learn the lesson.
Oh yeah.
If somebody made a mistake and they ask you forgiveness, some people say, I'm not going to forgive you because you're going to do the same thing again. So what is use? I'm not going to forgive. What the Bible says? Peter came and said, how many times I should forgive? What Jesus said?
70
times 7.
Yes.
In what? Lifetime? No. One day. In one day, 70 times 7.
Amen.
But just think that somebody start doing that. One person comes and keep on punching you one time and two time and three times, and he punch you 449 times. And you keep on forgiving that person. God will change that person, I guarantee you.
Yes.
There was a one minister and preaching the gospel, and somebody says, this man was a Hindu man, got transformed, and now he's preaching the gospel. He was so strong built, so he is preaching in front of people. One person comes and slices his hand. He said, praise God, God bless you, sir, and start preaching. And God gave him grace to be alive, otherwise I would be dead. One punch and I'll be knocked out. But this man cut his two arms and still he was saying, God bless you. They cut his two legs, still he said, God bless you. And he died. But the people who killed him, they got saved. And today they are serving the Lord and saying, how God saved us. Because that man kept on blessing us. Even though we killed him. How he got this strength? He got it from Jesus.
Oh,
yeah. Once you love the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're going to overlook your enemy.
Yes.
Sometimes we do everything with anger and frustration, but you have to come to someday conclusion. That is not winning. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm going to round and round. I'm going to put Jesus first in my life. I'm going to surrender my tongue, my eyes, my hands, my faith to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That marriage will stay for a lifetime. So what I'm trying to say, the Word of God is saying, God will change your husband.
Amen.
With your behavior and with your godly walk with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Let's read verse 2.
While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear.
Okay. Now, while they behold your chaste conversation. Conversation, again, is behavior. Your pure, holy, living conduct. That's what the husband is going to see. If somebody looks as their looks their wife, they get jealous and come home and say, what are you looking at? Boom! I don't want you to talk into that man. What happened? Even though nothing happens with the man, she goes to the man and says, do you know me? I was just talking with you and my husband punched me. I love you, honey. I give you kiss. Where did he punch you? Here, give me that phone. So she said, oh, this man loves me. So what happened? Even though she has nothing wrong with her and she was just talking to the man, now the man became her boyfriend. Anybody wants to go, I said, I'll help you to pack a bag and go. But I'm not going to fight to stay. You understand? So what the Word of God is saying, your behavior will be enough. What kind of behavior? Pure, holy behavior. That's the kind of behavior you do. Your husband and your wife should have confidence with each other.
Yes, definitely.
When you love somebody, you know that my husband is not going to run away from me. And if you love your wife, your wife is not going to run away from me.
Right.
You can fight. Fight means not with a foul language. You can argue, disagree, but you don't divorce. Now somebody said divorce, there is a reason. Reason for the fornication or adultery and things like that. Okay, let's go to verse 3.
Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel.
Okay, now this is for the Christian ladies. Now somebody said, oh, in America, we are living in America. In America we have jewelry, and India also, or most of the country, they want to make themselves beautiful, they will have jewelry. Some people do not have a jewelry, poor people, they will get some kind of shells or some kind of beads, and they tie on their head and dye their hair and nose and eyes and everywhere. And so they think they are beautiful. Why are they doing these things, do you know? To attract people. Look at me. Even though some people, you know, sometimes, you know, somebody buys a beautiful car and they don't want people looking at their car. So what they say? They put something dangling in the, what do you call?
The mirror.
Mirror or something. So the people looking at that are not looking their car and things like that. The same thing, same idea. You put a weird makeup, you wear a weird dress and something different than other person. Hey, who is that girl? And they are attraction, looking at people. And somebody will give example. Oh, how about Rebecca? How about what do you call Isaac's wife? And how about Isaac's servant gave all the gold and this and that? Who are they? They were not saved. They were not born again. But they were doing the ritual. But when you come to the Sarah, we're saying here, Sarah didn't have the jewelry. She was very quiet person, very God-fearing person. In his 90s, in her 80s and 90s, people got attracted to her without any jewelry. So what? She was beautiful inside,
amen,
not outside. She was trying to preserve herself, that nobody should catch me and nobody should take me. She was not showing, I'm beautiful. And Abraham surely said, hey honey, don't do that. The Pharaoh is going to see you, or other person, Amalek, is going to see you and kidnap you, and I'll be in trouble. He already told her, tell them you are my sister, so nobody will take you from it. Yeah. And do you think the Sarah will wear lots of makeup and lots of jewelry and dance around here and there so somebody can catch her right away? No. And some of the ministers, they have golden things going from here to here. And golden watch, their watch might be like a $40,000, $50,000 watch. And all of these things. What is this? Is that glorifying God?
No.
No. If you have $40,000 watch, that $40,000 you can give it to the poor country, we'll have 40,000 churches. We don't need this. Especially for the ladies. We are walking around. I have seen the people pulling the ladies' earrings and the necklace and killing them for $5. Some of them have fake jewelry. It's not even real jewelry. And they take it and useless, and sometimes they kill them for the only purpose of jewelry. All kinds of jewelry and doing all kinds of hairstyle. Now, nothing wrong with your good hair, but now there is a fashion. You have to braid your hair such a way. I don't know how much it costs. Even though you have good hair, you braid them and braid them and braid them and give them hundreds of dollars. Why are you doing this? Some people say, oh, this is a fashion. Whatever we are doing it, there's a purpose. We are doing it to show off.
Yeah.
To other people to see I am rich. Because when you do certain kinds of hair, it costs us money. And some people do not have money to pay their gas bills,
yeah,
electric bills.
Yeah.
And they go there and pay $40,
$50.
And they want to say, this is a very rich lady. But she might have borrowed money to do her hair. MasterCard. What the word of God is saying? Why are you doing this? What is the motto? What is the desire? We have to be thankful what God has given to us. You will be surprised. People borrow the money and buy the jewelry. Borrow the money and do something which is not useful. The word of God says, why you pay money which is not bread? What does it mean? If that's not eatable thing, it doesn't do any satisfaction to your stomach, why you want it?
Amen.
Just putting on your nose and neck, and some of the people putting here and here and any weird places. Why are they doing this? If you ask them, simple thing, they want somebody to look at it. Simple as that. You get $10,000 jewelry and put it in your fingers, and put it in your hand, and you don't have money to pay your gas bill or electric bill, what are you trying to do? All the jewelry, all the money, whatever you have, it is for the glory of God. That ring sitting there doing nothing. Maybe someday it will be so expensive. Some people, you know, collecting antiques. Look, I got this ring. It's $10,000, but if I keep it for 10 years, it will be $50,000. And if you keep it for 100 years, it might be $1 million. But you won't be getting it. You no use. Do everything for the glory of God. Amen. Other lady says she is like a 300 pound or something. I heard one man was saying. And she tried everything to lose weight. Nothing is working. Finally, she started looking at her in the spirit that I'll be skinny. I'll be running with my children. I'll be helping my children. And she started worshiping God and thanking God and became spiritual. Now she's skinny, she's whatever she wanted to be. What I'm trying to say, if you want to do anything, first you put Jesus in your life. Amen. Bible says, eat or drink or do anything. For what? For glory of God. Amen. What Peter says, silver and gold, I have none. Amen. And Peter didn't have this gold ring. If he had, then he will be lying, right?
Right.
So what the word of God is, let's go and read that verse one more time.
Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel.
Okay. Now, apparel is talking about the clothes. Now, some people wear very expensive clothes. You don't need expensive clothes. You need a modest clothes. Not so cheap. And not so expensive. If you buy so cheap, it will wrinkle, it may be not good enough. But there are people wearing the suit like a $50,000, $40,000 suit, a $5,000 suit. You can get a suit under 200, it will be good enough. That's the way you see some of the ladies' clothes. They might be thousands of dollars worth clothes. So the word of God saying it is not needful. We wearing the clothes for what? To hide our nakedness. God gave it to us. God did not say, Adam and Eve, I'm going to give you very expensive clothes. Then nobody can find a fault. He gave the leather jackets. So keep them from cold and heat. Okay, let's go to verse 4.
Let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price.
You have a hidden man inside of you. What is that? That's real you. If you are spirit-filled child of God, born again child of God, you act like a child of God, people are going to notice you. They are going to notice you in your job. They are going to notice you as you walk. They are notice you in the church. They are notice you what you're doing, and they want to be like you. Because Christian people can attract people just being themselves.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Your inner man should be strong, not the outer man.
Amen.
Okay, time is running. We'll come back to this. God willing, we just finished verse 4. Shall we rise? Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord, we humble ourselves. We made many mistakes in talking, in behaving, and acting. But we put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. You are the only one who can change us. No one can change anybody. So Lord Jesus, we ask you to forgive our shortcomings. Wash us with your precious blood. Give us a good example to live a Christian life. Bless each and everyone, young or old. Protect them from all the dangers and harms. And let us shine for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.